Hello, my name is Armando, and welcome to The Plant Nook. What's up, plant fam? Hope everyone is doing great. If you hear my AC in the background, I am sorry. There is a heat advisory. It is hot as balls here in good old central New York. So I am not sacrificing my heat. That makes sense? So basically, it is just very hot outside. Which actually leads into my plants. They're doing great. There is so much new growth in basically all of my plants. There's a couple here and there that really aren't showing much of new growth or anything like that, but everything else has been loving it. It is so humid, and it's like 90 degrees that there's basically new growth every which way I look, and I am so super excited, particularly for my Hoya kurtzii. Like, that thing has new growth everywhere. Almost every single vine on that Hoya is new growth, and I am so, so excited for that. So hopefully things get a little better while I, until I move and all my plants are nice and strong and healthy, and then I put them through hell, driving them across the country to Colorado. So hopefully they grow nice and strong for me for the next couple of months, and then are okay with me putting them into a U-Haul for 3 days. I do plan on trying to take them out if I can. If not, well, they might grow a little dormant, but at the very least, I do have a USB plant light, grow light, I should say. So I'm thinking maybe I'll connect it to my external battery pack, and maybe I can sort of mimic, at least I can give them a little bit of light, I should say, you know? So we'll see. Hopefully it does well. So this week, I want to talk about a plant tidbit on Monstera Peru. So let's get into it. Monstera Peru, as I have come to find, is actually a misnomer. We're used to Monstera's fenestrating or splitting as the leaf matures. However, I have not found any evidence of Monstera Peru doing either of those. So that got me really thinking. As I dived a little further, I found out the plant is actually a philodendron. It's not a monstera at all. And so far, things are looking towards Philodendron opacum. This plant is commonly called Monstera Peru, Monstera carsteinianum, or Monstera species Peru, sometimes Monstera carsteinianum Peru. Even still, it is technically a philodendron. Philodendron opacum, or sometimes I've been seeing it as Philodendron carsteinianum. I have found a journal article that will use one, and another journal article that will use the other, though I haven't found any recent peer-reviewed articles stating which name would be the one that's correctly used. The most recent one I did find, from 2016, called it Philodendron carsteinianum. But there was an even more recent one in 2018 that had Philodendron opacum in it, which was a survey done on the diversity of plants in Panama. I searched into the Royal Botanic Gardens queue and saw an herbarium specimen labeled Philodendron opacum. However, the specimen was so pressed and pretty old that a lot of the features have basically disappeared. This particular species was identified by Croat and Graham, and they do use Philodendron opacum in the name. However, today's episode, I'll be using the common botanical name that we know and love, Monstera Peru, just to make things easier for those of us that were initially introduced to the plant as such. Very Sansevieria versus Dracaena moment, you know what I mean? So let's talk a little bit about Monstera Peru. So Monstera Peru has relatively large leaves. I've seen some of them go up to almost a foot long, but generally mine have maybe say around 10 inches, 9 inches long. that are asymmetrically shaped. One side tends to be longer than the other, and the margins are entire, so they don't have splits or any fenestrations, really. You know about my proclivity for textured leaves. Ooh, I love a good textured leaf. Especially when they look exactly how they feel. And this plant is no exception. They have a thicker leaf than most monsteras that are very bumpy, almost looking like alligator or crocodile skin. They look very textured in that way. Although they do still feel smooth, they're not rough. They're generally still pretty smooth, but they do have that bumpiness to them. Its leaves are often dark green with glints of light green, especially in the newer leaves. And as the newer leaves sort of transition into the dark green, you just get this beautiful color mixture on the leaf itself. So Monstera Peru is native in the sort of southern Central America, northern South America area in the Amazon basin. Generally, Panama, Costa Rica, Colombia, Ecuador, those sorts of places. So it gets really nice, you know, tropical rainforest environment where high humidity, quite warm, and lots of moisture in the air, in the soil, and really well-draining soil as well. So you can kind of guess on how you should be growing Monstera Peru. Even though, technically speaking, it is not a Monstera, it grows generally in the same environment as Monstera, so you can kind of guess sort of how it needs to grow, or at least what kind of environment you need it to be in. I personally grew my Monstera Peru in medium light. Initially, it was in my room next to a north-facing window with a grow light at around 5 feet from it. It would be around medium to like the low end of the high light spectrum. Now, it's in the three-season room of my sister's house, so windows all around, and it is south-facing. The yard, however, where the room is facing, is covered in trees, so there's never any direct southern light. Sometimes it will be direct eastern and direct western, but for the most part, it is a nice, bright, indirect light, and that goes for essentially all of my plants. The humidity is whatever the environment is at, basically. I used to be quite religious about running my humidifier, but where I currently live, the humidity has never truly been a problem, even in the winter. Once I moved to Colorado, however, the humidity is a lot drier there, so I may upkeep the humidifier a little more regularly. I did keep it in the same pot and the same soil that I originally bought it in. The soil itself seems to be quite moisture retaining, but with large pieces of wood chips in there, giving it that airiness that monsteras or philodendrons seem to really need. It is a climbing plant though, and I haven't given it something to grow onto yet. I think once I head out west, I'll repot it to refresh the soil, give it some more nutrients. I'd have fertilized a little bit, but not too much, and give it something to climb onto. And I'm thinking something like a board. I kind of want to do a large board and have all of my trailing plants just trail right up it. It'll be a pain in the butt if I have to move, but that means I can get a lot of cuttings out of it, right? I personally haven't really found a great way to determine when I should be watering my Monstera Peru. In most Monsteras, you can typically see the leaf either drooping slightly or losing its sheen. At first, I thought I could rely on the shine, or at least the brightness of the leaf, whether or not it needs water. However, it just so happened that my leaves were dusty. So, as of now, I just basically pick the pot up, and if it feels too light, I'll give it a little bit of water. When it's hot outside, I'll generally water about once a week, so it's actually due for a watering soon. But if it isn't too boiling outside, I can get away with maybe every 2 weeks, almost. It's a pretty hardy plant and grows really, really fast. I've been seeing elsewhere that for a lot of people, this plant grows relatively slow. But I'm finding that it's growing really, really fast to the point that I think I need to cut it back now and prune it. I don't want to have too many big, bushy plants as I move. So I think I'm going to cut it back soon enough. But it is growing really, really fast. I bought this Monstera Peru in December of last year. So right in 2020 and December, within a month, it already grew two new leaves. And by now, it's like trailing, essentially. So that's almost a good 9 months later, it's doubled in size. So it is growing really fast. And I think it's just because I'm letting it dry out and then giving it like a saturation of water when it's time to water them. And generally, I let it run all the way through. Now, since I can do it now, I leave my plant in the sink and I'll just drench these plants in water and make sure it's really soaking all the way through. And then I'll leave it in the sink for maybe 10-15 minutes just to make sure that all the water has run through, and then I'll put it back outside. Luckily, it's been so hot that a lot of these plants are doing really well with that. But since it's been so humid as well, they're not really losing a ton of leaves, a ton of water, I should say, even though it's been so hot, and that's because it hasn't had a lot of direct light. So it's actually doing really well. It's not overwatered. It's doing pretty well in the condition that it's currently in. So give it as much bright light as possible. Give it a good watering. I haven't found that tap water is sort of a deterrent for this plant. I know for some people that tap water is a no-go, but I usually water all my water. I use water from my tap for all my plants. I was a little bit paranoid about it before, and I used to use a filter. I used to use a Brita, and I just couldn't be bothered after a while. Only because my Brita filter couldn't hold on to as much water as I needed. So, and I didn't want to have to keep waiting for the fill to water all my plants. I just wanted to do it all right then and there. And so I basically was just like, whatever, it'll be fine. They'll be fine. And honestly, every once in a while, there's some burnt tips here and there, but for the most part, all my plants are fine. Granted, if you live in an area with really extremely hard water, I don't believe we have that hard of water here in central New York. If you live in a place with hard water, you might want to still consider using a Brita filter. Some plants are really susceptible to that, and with really high amounts of salts in your water, you might kill your plants, not necessarily just have them have brown tips. So definitely recommend that. But with Monstera Peru, it is incredibly hardy. Since the leaves are a lot thicker than other philodendrons or monsteras that I have, it holds on to a lot more water. It can dry out a little bit longer, I think, than other monsteras or philodendrons, so it actually makes it a little bit easier. Now, if you had it in more direct light, and if you're going to put it in direct light, I do recommend it only being eastern-facing light. If you do western, you might be able to train it up to western light, but you don't want to put it in southern light. I think it would basically burn the plant completely, even if you trained it up to that point. I just think pure southern light is way too much for this little monstera. Well, technically philodendron. However, in the winter, you might be able to get away with more southern light, just because in this latitude that I'm at, up in central New York, the sun is going to be not at all harsh in the winter. Plus, there's not going to be a ton of it. The sun is going to be at its furthest distance away from Earth, while we are going to be at the furthest distance away from the sun. Technically, the sun doesn't move. So the light is going to be a lot less harsh, and day length is basically null and void. So I would definitely recommend, especially in the summer, to keep it in as bright and direct light as possible. If you're going to put it outside, make sure it's completely shaded. If you have it indoors in eastern light or northern light, there's going to be some diffusion happening through the windows, so you don't have to worry about that light burning the Monstera Peru. But if it is going to be outdoors, make sure it is covered in shade. I think that's also what helped my Monstera Peru as well. I left all my plants outside for about 2 weeks, and I think that really helped jumpstart a lot of my plants into growing. And now that they're inside, I think they are slowing down a little bit, but not by much. Because at this point, the windows are completely open. There is light coming in through the windows. And so, and it's not all the light is not diffused. There is still some straight sunlight coming in on the eastern and the western side, like I said. But it's completely covered in trees, so I don't really have to worry about the plants getting burnt on the hottest part of the day in the afternoon, because the trees are basically covering all of my plants. So it is working out very well. So if you haven't had the opportunity to grow a Monstera Peru, what are you waiting for? They are incredibly easy, in my opinion. They have such an interesting history, especially with the nomenclature of the said plant. And they just look incredibly beautiful. Especially if you're one like me who really loves texture and just seeing different types of texture. So imagine, like I said, crocodile against satin. That sort of difference in texture. I feel like you get that with the Monstera Peru pretty well. You know, I leave my Peru next to, let's see, my Lodicea discolor, it's next to that, as well as my Neon Pothos, my Philodendron Micans. And so you have a lot of these velvety or like satiny looking plants, and then all of a sudden you have this pop of texture that is just like nice and almost like rough, and I don't really want to say bumpy, but it is bumpy, and you kind of just have that counterbalance of textures, and it just looks amazing, especially with the dark green foliage that it grows into. Newer leaves are nice and bright green, which eventually fade, kind of like the black ZZ Raven effect, where the new leaves there in a ZZ Raven come out nice and bright green and then eventually turn black, and it takes forever for it to turn black. But sort of that sort of look, except it happens a lot faster than a raven. So if you have any further questions about how I grow my Monstera Peru, please let me know. You can find me on Instagram at the Plant Nook Podcast. You can also send me an email, theplantnook@gmail.com. You can head to anchor.fm/theplantnook to find other ways to support the podcast. Don't forget to like, share, leave us a review, subscribe on whatever platform you listen to. And make sure you tell all your planty friends about the show. Let's get the plant fam out there and let's just get together and honestly have a family reunion that's plant-based in the sense that it's a planty plant fam reunion. I don't know where I was going with that. When I said plant-based, it almost sounded like oh, let's all be vegan. Not that there's nothing wrong with vegans. I'm personally not a vegan. However, I would love to have, I guess, a plant fam reunion, if you will. I think that'd be so much fun. Hopefully one day. I think I might do it in Seattle because I already have a lot of friends out there in Seattle. So I might do Seattle, or if there are people in the West area of the United States around Colorado, maybe we'll do a little meet up there. But I think an idea of a plant fam reunion would be a lot of fun. So yeah, go ahead and check all that out. Oh, also, check out my merch shop on Zazzle. I have a new shirt out that says, "What's up, Plant Fam?" Kind of showing off that tagline, showing that you're a part of the Plant Fam. So go ahead and check that out if you are so inclined. So that's it for this week. I hope to share more with you next time. Bye! The music you heard in this podcast is called Hard Fought Victory from Purple Planet Music. And now, a word from our sponsor.